Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good people. Ah, yeah, you know what it is. Hard worker, scrappy, unfiltered, and sometimes unhinged football content. Hard to explain, but you know it when you see it. Doing it daily our way. I don't know what you're talking about right now. Redraft and Dynasty Fantasy Football, we got you covered. You know their defense is ranked like 31st in the NFL? NFL draft prospects and rookies? Now you know you're in the right place for that.
Absolutely.
All right, then stop saying it! Then we're done! And prop bets with my man Jay Rich?
Count that money, man!
Now wipe the crust out of your eyes, get you a cup of coffee. It's time to wake your ass up with Ray G. You honestly are making absolutely no sense, and you sound silly as hell. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good people. It is Thursday, January the 13th, 2022. Why are you? You're messing me up because you're on my screen. Get off of my intro. Good morning. It is Thursday, January 13th, 2022. This is Wake Up with Ray G. Welcome. I'm just so excited because Ricardo's got me lit. Toot that thing up. For those of y'all that don't know, I know you probably saw the thumbnail, prop, lock, and drop it. Jay says I have dated myself with the Huey song, but back when I was in undergrad, that was a song that got it popping at the club. Prop, lock, and drop it. It was pop, lock, and drop it. But we changed the segment to prop, lock, and drop it because we're going to be talking about some of our favorite prop plays for this upcoming weekend. We're just going to talk through the games, man. Who's winning? You see who I got on. Our Super Bowl run starts this weekend after we take down the San Francisco 49ers. I may slide up to Jerry World just to go to the game to see it happen live. All you 49er fans out there, your run has come to an end. The Dallas Cowboys, your 2021 NFL Super Bowl champs. Our run starts now, baby. And Ricardo's got me lit. Toot that thing up. Jay, how you doing this morning, baby?
I'm good. I'm laughing, though, because I'm literally watching you delivering the intro inside of the intro. I can see all the way about the third level of Inception. But you're wearing the Cowboys gear, and you know what? I'm proud of you today. You're sticking to your guns. You wavered all season. I had to convince you a couple times, but we're here now. We're in the playoffs. It's go time, baby. And to be honest, this week, I give the Cowboys a pretty good shot. Playing at home against the Niners. The Niners are playing really well, but this week, I think they got a good shot.
I think we got a real good shot, man. I think we got a real good shot. Jay, do we got some news to get into today? I didn't look at the news segment. Do we got something to get into today?
The only real things that were notable to me, Justin Jefferson wasn't named All-Pro. It was Ja'Marr Chase, Cooper Kupp, Davante Adams. Okay, I get it. You know, Cooper Kupp had to be on there.
Yeah,
Davante Adams, yes and no. He had, I believe, 15 touchdowns, 1,500 receiving yards. Justin Jefferson had 1,600 receiving yards and 10 touchdowns. But Ja'Marr Chase with his 1,400 receiving yards, 13 touchdowns. I don't know, man. Like, I just feel bad for Jefferson at this point. For him to be still in Chase's shadow again, Chase breaks his record. Now Chase is jacking his all-pro. I don't know, man.
Let me see what Justin...
It hurts me a little bit. It hurts. I'm a big Jets fan. And seeing him not get all-pro, it hurts.
So Justin Jefferson this year, his final stats, let's see if this was all-pro worthy. 108 receptions, 1,616 yards, and 10 touchdowns. I was a little shocked not to see Justin Jefferson on the All-Pro team, first-team All-Pro team as well. I definitely think he deserved to be on that list. It's hard to argue Ja'Marr Chase, Davante Adams, but Jets definitely should have been first-team All-Pro. Kind of Bush League right there. I know he's going to be on the second team, but definitely should have been first-team All-Pro. Tyron Smith making first-team All-Pro as a Cowboys fan. I don't know how the hell that happened. I don't understand. I mean, he's still a great tackle, but I haven't seen Tyron Smith on the field in about 5 weeks, so no clue how he made it. But Micah Parsons, that was dope to see the young rookie. Two rookies make first team. Did Rashawn Slater make first team All-Pro? He couldn't have because he's left tackle.
I don't know.
Williams. I know Micah Parsons did, but go ahead. There's some Eric Weddle news, man.
Yeah, Eric Weddle got re-signed by the Rams yesterday, and the reason why was because their other safety, Jordan Fuller, is out for the season with an injury, and he was actually the defensive signal caller. So now they bring in Eric Weddle, who was their defensive signal caller in 2019, bringing him back out of retirement. You know, Sean McVay doing whatever he can do to make sure this team is Super Bowl ready. Jalen Ramsey was hyped. He was tweeting about it last night. And so it's interesting to see kind of how this all works. And then, yeah, Desi actually mentioned it as well. Mark Andrews wasn't named first-team All-Pro either. Travis Kelce was. And Mark Andrews, I believe, was sixth in the NFL in receiving with over 13. I think it was 1348. It was like almost 1350. Crazy to me that Andrews didn't get it for what a great season he had. But yeah, Eric Weddle signed by the Rams yesterday, so we'll see kind of how he fits in. You know, he knows the system, he knows the defense, he knows how to play, he knows a lot of the players on the team especially. We'll see how he fits in, but you know, these NFL guys, they stay in good shape. He's probably ready to play, and I don't think they would have signed if they didn't think he could perform at an extremely high level. You know, they are playing Monday night in against Arizona at home, so he has a couple, you know, extra half day to get acclimated, but I think Weddle will be ready to play. You know, probably one of the best safeties we've seen in the NFL over about a 10-year stretch from his time on the Chargers, then moving over to the Ravens and ultimately ending his career on the Rams. Interesting signing, but when I saw that, I was like, yeah, you know, he could definitely add another vet presence to that roster, and I think that's what they need heading into the playoffs.
Yeah, Weddle was dope during his prime. He played in the air. You know, he was right there. Polamalu was there. It's crazy. You're talking about this has nothing to do with anything, but I think about – one of my favorite safeties to watch in the NFL, and I literally think about this player probably like once a week, is Bob Sanders. Bob Sanders played safety at Iowa. He's 5'8", 200 pounds, the hit man. Just if you don't remember Bob Sanders, if you guys are a little too young to remember Bob Sanders, just go pull his highlights up and watch just how devastating of a safety he was. Bob Sanders was dope. Bob Sanders was a beast. I think about him all the damn time. Mark Andrews, the new tight end one. Dynasty, nah. I think he's right there with – I think it's still Kyle Pitts because Pitts is still 22 years old. Andrews only 26, going on 27. I would take Andrews over everybody not named Kyle Pitts. But we got some games to get into this weekend. Wild card weekend. It's a great slate this weekend. We've got games Saturday, Sunday, and then we cap it off with the Monday night game with the Cardinals and the Rams. So let's just take – no, that's my prize picks. Let's take a look at the wild card weekend, all right? So we've got Raiders, Cincinnati, New England, Buffalo, Philly, Tampa, San Francisco, Dallas, Pittsburgh with Ben Roethlisberger saying they don't stand a chance versus Kansas City. So what the hell? Let's let it rip. Arizona and the Rams. And then the two teams on bye, Green Bay and Tennessee. And Jay, do I owe Tennessee an apology? I have been calling them frauds, for a good 2 months? Good 2 months.
Yeah.
I've been calling them a fraud. I still don't believe in them. I still don't believe in them. But maybe I'm wrong, damn it. I probably owe them an apology sitting in the number one seed. But we're going to start this thing off with the Cincinnati Bengals flying high after their win against Kansas City versus the Las Vegas Raiders. And I'm seeing all the comments come in. That's right, Mike Sanders was an animal. That's right, Bob Sanders was a big. I think about him at least once a week because he was just so good. But the Bengals, right? The Bengals are favored by 5.5, over under 49 in this matchup. It's Joe Burrow, Derek Carr. Are the Raiders going to be able to do enough to put pressure on Joe Burrow to make him uncomfortable? And we know the Cincinnati offensive line is not good. And Jay, I believe the last time these two teams met, didn't the Raiders kind of put a beat down on Cincinnati in that matchup? So
Other way around. The Cincinnati Bengals won like 36-10 in that game. Okay. It was bad.
Okay, so Cincinnati already destroyed them in one game. Playing well, Higgins, the All-Pro Jamar Chase, Trey Hendrickson on defense.
Also All-Pro, by the way. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah,
Trey Hendrickson, All-Pro.
Why I said his name, Trey Hendrickson. He played phenomenal this season. My question is, are the Raiders going to be able to slow down that offense? We just saw them give up a lot of points in one of the best games we've seen in a long time versus the Chargers and Justin Herbert. And I think while maybe not the pure talent that Justin Herbert is, Joe Burrow is just as equally, he's right up there in the upper echelon. He's starting to move his way up there amongst NFL signal callers. Listen, I'm from Las Vegas. I'm happy the Las Vegas Raiders are in the playoffs. But with that defense, as anemic as it is, with that secondary as bad as it is, and I know they've pieced it together to pull off some wins, I don't know if they have the firepower to come back against Cincinnati if that offense gets hot. There are just so many weapons, not just in the passing game, but you still have got Joe Mixon on the ground. Josh Jacobs is, he lives on the injury report, so I have no, he's going to play. He's always hurt. He'll limp off a couple of times and come back in. The question is, can Max Crosby and that defensive front be able to put pressure on Joe Burrow to make it uncomfortable? If you give him all day to sit back there, he's going to find somebody's going to be open. Tyler Boyd, CJ Uzama, T. Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Mixon, somebody will be open if you can't get pressure on Cincinnati. The odds makers, I mean, 5.5-point favorites, is that's not a small line. The odds makers think, yeah, they should get it done by at least 2 field goals in this matchup. Where are you at in this one, Jay? Who do you think pulls it off? How are you feeling? I know you had some interesting splits about Joe Burrow in this matchup too.
Yeah, so like you mentioned, 32-13 the last time these teams played. This was actually the game that Joe Mixon ran the ball 30 times for 130 yards and 2 touchdowns. So if you recall, there was a stretch where Joe Mixon was really the guy in fantasy. He was blowing up, scoring multiple touchdowns a week. And this was one of those games. It kind of was a catalyst for Joe Mixon really starting to come into the upper echelon of running backs as far as fantasy purposes and in real life as well. But talking about Joe Burrow, the craziest part about his statistics are his home road splits. So when he plays at home, he's averaging about 330 yards per game. Ooh. Now, of course, there's some really big games there. You talk about the Ravens game where he threw for almost 500 yards and a few other performances like that. But and again, this is over the whole season. This isn't over a small sample or a 4 or 5 game sample. This is the entire season. He's averaged 330 yards per game at home versus 240 on the road. This game, of course, at home in Cincinnati. And then, like you mentioned, the Bengals have a very high-powered offense, not just through the air, but also on the ground. But Joe Burrow listed, and this isn't just at Prize Picks. You know, we talk about Prize Picks because we like their product and we like to play on their platform. But 260.5 for Joe Burrow when he's averaging 330 yards a game at home. Give me the over all day on that. The Raiders do have a pretty decent pass defense, but you know, we'll see what happens with T. Higgins. He was on the injury report. He was limited practice, and I think limited practice Wednesday, DMP Tuesday. But we're going to see, and I'm not really too worried, even if he doesn't play, because they just have so many guys that can beat you. Tyler Boyd can easily slot in. If Higgins plays limited snaps, he's going to get his yards. We know Chase is going to get his yards. CJ Uzama will get involved. Joe Mixon will be involved. 260 to me is just too low. And honestly, I'm all over the Bengals. I think the Bengals can cover this game easily. I think this game probably goes over as well. You talk about the Raiders and how they're going to win this game. They're not going to do it on the ground. And that's the only way they've really seen success this season. Especially recently, they've had more success on the ground. And that's where Cincinnati's at their best right now. Their best is when they stop the run. And that's what's the problem for the Raiders, is that they're going to be running into Trey Hendrickson and this great D-line that's drastically improved from last season, and they're going to have to throw the ball. Now, Cincinnati is giving up, I believe, the 6th most yards per game on through the air, so Derek Carr may be able to, you know, exploit that. And I know that you're in on Hunter Renfrow this week because he's going to be able to get the ball a lot more because they're going to have to throw it.
Yeah.
And I believe the number was 53.5, another number I really like in this game. But I think I'm all in on Burrow. Burrow's one of the guys I'm really locking in. I believe across sports books, I saw him anywhere from 260 all the way up to 270.
I saw 270. Again, I saw 270.5 on one of the books. I'm with you, but I think because we're all so bullish on Cincinnati, and the over-under is 49, right? When you go to Buffalo, New England, the implied team total for that game is 44, so we're expecting some points. I think there's some exploitable matchups. Hunter Renfrow, over under 53.5 yards. Sign me up for that. I'm all over Hunter Renfrow. I think you can create a nice little, and you don't have to go, people, listen, you don't have to go drastic and go 5-leg parlays, 6-leg parlays. If you just wanted to do like a 3-leg parlay from this game, I think Joe Burrow, we looked at his line, over 260.5, love that. Hunter Renfrow over 53.5. And honestly, Jay, if I had to put my money on one of the wide receivers, it's hard for me. I love T. Higgins. Love him. Love him. I think in dynasties, I believe T. Higgins is a top 10, not top 12, top 10 dynasty wide receiver. I just, if he's at 66.5 and Ja'Marr Chase is at 71.5, I'm going to put my money on the guy who's getting like all the, every catch Ja'Marr Chase is 20 yards down the damn field. I mean, we see that. He can pick that up in two receptions. I think he's going to be fed. I think Cincinnati, I was listening to somebody talk about the Memphis Grizzlies. I think it was Shannon Sharp. I love Shannon Sharp. I love Shannon. I watch that show because it entertains me, not for their actual opinions, right? But Shannon Sharp, they were talking about the Grizzlies, and they said that they're so young that they don't even know that they're not supposed to be this good this quick. And I think the Bengals are so young, no one expected them to be there, be here in this position this quickly. They're going to go out there and let it rip, man. So I like Cincinnati. You know me. My betting style is I don't bet the spread. Like, I just don't do it. I just don't do it. I have not found a lot of success there. If I bet the spread, I always tease it. 6.5, 7 points. I'm fine batting singles. I don't need to hit a home run every bet that I make. I'm fine batting singles. So if I were going to do anything, I do like Cincinnati. I would tease them still. I would at least give them 11.5, 12 points. And then I'd feel a lot more confident in that one for me. But I do like Cincinnati in this matchup. And I love Joe Burrow. And he did make my 5-leg Prize Picks power flex play parlay that we'll talk about in a little bit. Now we got Mac Daddy Jones versus the Josh Allen-led Buffalo Bills. This is the third matchup between these two teams. We know New England got the first victory in the blizzard in Buffalo. And then the Bills kind of put it to them. They got revenge. Now the third time. This is a best of three series. Can Mac Jones and Bill Belichick do enough to make Josh Allen uncomfortable? Mac Jones is coming off of a bad loss to the Dolphins. He had two turnovers. He had a pick six. We know that their weapons in New England is not very, they're not very good. You know, Jacoby Myers, I think they get Nelson Aguilar back, but I don't know how much that even matters, Jay. Last game, Josh Allen had 300 passing yards and 64 rushing yards against New England. Now he's at home. Oh, man. I was looking. I did not see it on Prize Picks. The Josh Allen rushing yard total was not up because I was scouring for it. I was like, whatever it is, I'm smashing the I've never seen any I haven't seen it, anything like it, man. A player as big as Josh Allen and is just as good as he is. First of all, he's durable. He never gets hurt. He's a goddamn bulldozer at quarterback. Now, I will say this. Devin Singletary has been hot. Devin Singletary has been getting the rock. He's been playing well. I just don't think it's been a great run for the young kid, and I think Bill Belichick should be commended for the job that he's done in New England this year. With, I mean, you look across that offense, it is not exciting. I mean, it's just not. You know, Ramondre Stevenson, Damian Harris, two young, good running backs, Mac Jones. Did you see the tweet? I believe it was Mike Reese from the Patriots. It was one of the Patriots beat reporters where Mac Jones ranks historically amongst rookie quarterbacks all time.
Oh, no.
Oh, man. I mean, I'm going to pull it up. Go, keep going. I'm going to pull this up because it was staggering to see how good he's been. But go ahead and run through the game script.
Yeah, so my biggest problem with this game is, like you mentioned, Josh Allen is really the X factor here. And I told you this weeks ago when he played the Bucks that Josh Allen is a guy that when I watch him play, he's a man who's on a mission right now. And as much as I like Devin Singletary a lot, you know, even going all the way back to Florida Atlantic when he was scoring 30 touchdowns in one season, he just hasn't quite got it done at the NFL level to where I'm confident in him to bet a prop. But like you mentioned, Josh Allen's rushing yards, if they're 40 yards, you know, if they're 50 yards, I might be like, I don't know about that. That's pretty high. But usually he sits somewhere in the 25 to 30 yard range. You know, even if he gets up to 35, I think you're in a good spot because we've seen Josh Allen really take over games. And so like you see here, you got Andrew Luck, Justin Herbert, Cam Newton, Jameis Winston, then Mac Jones, really. Now
So this was a tweet from Mark Daniels, and this is how Mac Jones' rookie season stacks up historically with the top rookie quarterbacks in NFL history. So when you just look at his yards, in NFL history for rookies, he's fifth in yards right behind Jameis Winston. His completion percentage is the second highest in NFL history for a rookie quarterback. His average depth of target, I mean, this is shocking, right? Higher than Andrew Luck, higher than Justin Herbert, people. Higher than Justin Herbert, 22 touchdowns, 13 interceptions, and what is that, the the fourth highest quarterback rating for a quarterback in NFL history. So all I'm saying, fantasy and or real football, get him some weapons. I'm not saying he's Andrew Luck. I'm not saying he's Justin Herbert or Peyton Manning. The only woof pick on here is a Baker Mayfield, a little bit of woofy woof. But I'm just saying, get him some weapons, man. But back to the game. No, New England's not going to win this matchup. Buffalo is favored by 4 points. Somebody said Diggs has a prop for 1 yard.
Where?
Underdog. They've got a promo. 1 yard for Stephon Diggs. So there's a free bet right there. Anybody you like in this game? Kind of Cole Beasley, right? 31.5 yards. What do you? Isaiah McKenzie went 11 for 125 against the Pats when Beasley was out. He's averaging 45 yards per game against New England over the last 5 games. This seems like it should be achievable. A Cole Beasley game. If they can't cover the slot, J.C. Jackson is probably going to be matched up with Stephon Diggs. This isn't a bad one. You like this line?
Yeah, I like it a lot. Like you mentioned, Gabe Davis and Cole Beasley didn't play in that last game, and Isaiah McKenzie led the team in targets and yards. So from that perspective, it's like we know this is where they have to attack Stephon Diggs. As good as he was in that last game, they're not going to be able to attack J.C. Jackson all game long. He's just too good, too talented. They're going to have to use these other guys. It'll probably be Beasley and Gabe Davis. Which one it will be, I'm not sure, but I think that potentially Beasley could be the guy that they have to use in this offense because they're going to throw the ball a lot. They throw the ball, I think, at the sixth highest rate in the NFL right now. They do a lot of no huddle. They're going to play fast because they know it's going to keep the Patriots personnel groups from switching. We'll see. You know, I don't expect McKenzie to do much after those guys came back. I believe he had 2 targets the following game. So it's not like he kind of earned targets after that game. Mm-hmm. I think they go back to Beasley, go back to Gabe Davis. But Gabe Davis is a guy I'm going to be watching a lot. I'm going to see how many snaps he plays. I'm going to see how involved he gets because he's another guy, you know, a lot of people are looking to for a third-year breakout. Joe, I didn't see any props, I don't think, for Davis when I was looking. I only saw the Beasley one. I was like, this is pretty low.
I didn't see
any. And so it's kind of whether you like Dawson Knox or Cole Beasley. You know, Dawson Knox 33.5, Beasley at 31.5. I kind of like Beasley because of what we saw in the last game.
Beasley didn't play, Mike. Beasley didn't play one of those games. One of them was the snow game, and then one was
the Hurricane Bowl, and the other one he had.
I mean, no one really did anything. So I think that's kind of unfair. Like, I mean, he literally didn't play one of the games because he was COVID positive. So I think the thing is what Jay is saying. Isaiah McKenzie, who filled in for Cole Beasley, had a monster game. He had all those short area targets, 11 receptions, 125. And then ever since that game, when Beasley got back, he was relegated to the bench. So it was a formula that they used. 31.5 is very exploitable. I'm not as confident on it. I don't have it in my 5-leg parlay flex play. But just throwing that out there. I got to back Jay up on that one. So just wanted to talk about that one. But I do think the Bills get it done. I think they're the better team. J.C. Jackson probably on Stephon Diggs, so we'll see who ends up covering Gabe Davis. I think Gabe Davis may be in for a big third year, man. I don't know what Cole Beasley's contract situation is, but they probably need to feature Gabe Davis a little bit more moving forward in 2022. Maybe a sneaky dynasty buy, man. I don't know how everybody feels about Gabe Davis, but maybe sneaky dynasty buy. Philadelphia, Tampa Bay, Jalen Hurts, Tom Brady, and I know there's a lot of people, Jay. I'm seeing a lot of chatter about Philly. Philly with the upset in this one. I don't know if I'll go that.
Don't you see the highlighted picks on the board? Are you colorblind? I mean, I don't know, man.
I said a bunch of people. Philly with the upset. I don't know if I would go full upset, but Tampa Bay favored by 9. I know Leonard Fournette is back. We know Godwin's out. No AB. Fournette is back. We'll see how healthy he is. Oh man, it's the question of, as an NFL team, do you play to your strengths or do you play against the opposing team's strengths? So Philadelphia's strength is running the ball. Tampa Bay's strength is stopping the run. So does Philly say that, hell with your strength, we know we're a running team and we don't care how good your run defense is, we're going to stick to our plan? Or do they flip the script and say, we know you're good at stopping the run, so what we're going to do is try to put the ball in the air? if that's their game plan, I don't think they win this game because there's no way Jalen Hurts can outduel Tom Brady. Even with, listen, I would take the receiving core of Mike Evans and Rob Gronkowski right now. As much as I love Devontae Smith, I'm taking that and Tom Brady over Goddard, Devontae Smith, and Quez Watkins. Like, that's really, it's really Goddard, Smith, and a ground game. That's what they're working with. Tom Brady in the playoffs versus Philadelphia and Tampa Bay. Didn't they crush him earlier this season? Did Philly hang with them in that game?
I believe they did beat them pretty badly, but I think the bigger point for me with the spread being 9 points is that we've seen Jalen Hurts cover a lot of big spreads before. For whatever reason, it just seems like whether it's Jalen Hurts' mentality, whether it's the team, they may be down 15, 20 points at some point during the game, but they always find a way to claw their way back. And like you mentioned, if they're able to use this run game and really lean on it, I think there's a really good chance they could win this game. You know, as much as I believe that Tom Brady can get it done, and Gronk is another player I love in this game, I think more importantly that they're going to need to rely on Gronk as a big guy. Over 55.5, I really like this number. Gronk last week had 7 for 70 yards to get his bonuses. I think Mike Evans still a little bit banged up. Cecil Grayson actually is doubtful for this game, the guy who caught the game-winning touchdown against the Jets. Again, not a big piece, but when Chris Godwin's out and AB's not playing anymore, you got to have guys step up, and Gronk at 55.5 is a great number for a dude we know is going to get targets. It's winning time, right? And Tom Brady's going to go to his guys that he knows better than anybody when he needs to win games. And that's going to be Rob Gronkowski. I don't really think that Philly can stop Gronk if Gronk gets 12 to 15 targets.
He's going to get targeted.
Which is what we normally see from an AB or a Godwin in these important games. So I really like Gronk here. But I think that Leonard Fournette is ultimately the X factor of this game. And it's the reason why I kind of like the under and I really like Philly to cover. I think it's going to be mostly a ground game. They're going to have to throw the ball, and Tampa Bay throws the ball more than any other team in the NFL. But I think their key to success is keeping this game close and churning it with Leonard Fournette if he's healthy and playing this kind of slow playing this game instead of trying to blow out Philly overall.
I'm with Mike. Philly is not good versus the tight end. Alex Singleton at their linebackers. Philly needs linebackers. Philly fans, you know it. Philly needs linebackers in the worst way. Listen, Gronk and Tom Brady in the playoffs, and you saw that versus the Jets. He was heavily involved in the passing attack. Yep. I think it's money time. Gronk and Brady, it's money time. It's the comfort level that he has. Gronk is still off his couch after going into last season. It's money time now, right? I love 55.5 for Rob Gronkowski. Sam Wallace, shout out to Sam. He asked about Tyler Johnson. No, thank you. I'm done with the Tyler Johnson experience. Completely out on him. I don't know what any lines are on him. Maybe if it's like 7
he doesn't
yards.
Have any, right? Because we don't know. We don't know his role. That's the biggest problem with Tyler Johnson.
I'd rather
go after Brate if you want 12.5. But then the other point about Philly and the tight ends, they allow 6 receptions and 60 yards per game to the tight end position. So that's already hitting the overs for Gronk at 5 receptions and 55.5 receiving yards.
Yeah, and I'm still nothing out. Leonard Fournette reception prop. I think it's going to be 5.5. I think it's going to be 5.5 receptions, 4.5 to 5.5 receptions for his over-under. And with no, I'm telling you what's going to happen. No Ronald Jones, DNP, Keyshawn, it's going to be a heavy dose of Leonard Fournette. Like, it's playoff Lenny time, Lombardi Lenny. He is going to get the work. I think he's a good bet for an anytime touchdown scorer in this game. I love Rob Gronkowski as an anytime touchdown scorer. And at this point, if you think Tom Brady is going to go out there and do what he needs to do versus Philly, you might throw one on Mike Evans. I think you got $3 that have a really good shot to score touchdowns in this matchup. No rushing prop on Jalen Hurts. Devonta Smith, his over-under receiving yard, total 57.5. And Dallas Goedert, 56.5. What's up?
Jalen Hurts' passing yard prop has dropped again. When I was looking at it this morning, it was 215.
Okay.
But now on prospects, it's 205.
So it dropped.
It's already dropped another 10 yards. Yeah. Brady's at 282, though. I don't love that number.
I would not If I were teasing this game, I would probably give Philly some more points. I'd probably try to find like 7 points to just make it like, what's 9 plus 7? 16? What is it? What's 9 plus 7?
There you go. That was quick.
That was quick.
You got it.
Baby.
You got it.
Yes, that made my day. I got it right. All right, so we're both rolling with Tampa Bay in this one, and we like the props for the Buccaneers.
No, I'm rolling with Philly for the parlay.
Okay, just well, you can have that.
Don't get it twisted.
You can have that. No, thank you. John said, Carlton Davis clamping Devonta Smith. I don't even know if it matters if Hurts' passing damn prop is 200 yards, and they don't even think he can get that. All right, Dallas versus San Francisco. That's right. You see where the green is. Dallas is favored by 3.5. Look at the over-under in this one, 51 points. They're expecting a shootout in Arlington, Texas. Jimmy Garoppolo versus Dak Prescott. My question to you is, what quarterback do you have more faith in, Dak or Jimmy G? This is the highest over-under total of the weekend, and San Francisco's playing well. We saw what they did to the Rams in that comeback victory, and Dallas has been... We're trying to figure it out, right? But Dallas does play much better at home, averaging 36 points per game and nearly 5 touchdowns at home. In San Francisco, they've had success on the road, averaging 24 points a game and a little under 3 touchdowns per game. The biggest question mark is 100% Jimmy Garoppolo. We know his thumb is a little bit banged up. We saw a couple of passes I think were impacted because of that thumb injury. And he cannot have those inconsistencies versus one of the most opportunistic defenses in the NFL, which is the Dallas Cowboys. I think they were second in the NFL in third down percentage getting off of the field. I believe their turnover margin was top in the NFL, the amount of times they turned the ball over to how many times they forced turnovers. It's an opportunistic defense. I know Stephon Diggs can be beaten on double moves, but because he's Trayvon Diggs. I should know that, right? But because, hey, don't correct me. You called him Cyril Grayson. It's Cyril Grayson. You messed up his name, and I didn't correct you. So don't. People know what I'm talking about. Don't do that, man. Don't stop me, Jay. But because his defense is so opportunistic, I think it leads. Jimmy Garoppolo is going to give us one. I think Jimmy Garoppolo to throw a pick is a good bet. That is a good bet. Jimmy Garoppolo is going to give us a pick. He's probably going to fumble the ball, and you can't turn it over versus Dallas. Like, you can't do that because that defense, they've got an offensive mind. They want to put the ball in the end zone. Now, this is going to come down to which offensive front can hold up the best, because as good as Dallas is with Randy Gregory, DeMarcus Lawrence, OC, Odighizuwa, and Micah Parsons, of course, San Francisco's front line is no joke with Nick Bosa, Eric Armstead. I believe just a devastating combination up front. You've got Fred Warner at linebacker. They've got an opportunistic defense as well, and they are playing hot. So I think this could be the most exciting matchup of the weekend because of the players that we have in this game. You got Debo Samuel, George Kittle, Elijah Mitchell. You've got Micah Parsons and CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper, Dak Prescott, Tony Pollard. I think this could be one of the most entertaining matchup of the weekend. And some of the props in this one, let's just start with San Francisco. Do you think Debo Samuel gets in the end zone? Pretty simple. Does Debo Samuel score in this game? Dallas is not the best against the run. I got to keep it real, right? Dallas is not the best against the run. We need some linebackers as well. And if they start throwing Debo Samuel in there in the backfield, I think it could present some problems. I'm betting Kyle Shanahan pulls some rabbits out of his cool hat that he wears every Sunday, and I wouldn't be surprised to see Debo and Elijah Mitchell line up in the backfield. They get Debo Samuel matched up against the linebacker on an option route, and it doesn't end well for Dallas. Jimmy Garoppolo, his over-under passing yard total is 239.5. Brandon Ayuk, over-under 47.5. I don't like that. But I do like Debo. I do like Debo to score a touchdown, to be honest with you. I'm kind of in on Debo to score a touchdown. On the Dallas side, I saw this, and as a Dallas Cowboy fan, I still couldn't touch it. Zeke at 47.5 rushing yards.
Like, I know.
I couldn't do it.
How the mighty have fallen.
I couldn't do
it. It's just brutal.
If you have Zeke in Dynasty, what are you doing? I think he's one of those players you just got to hold him. Like, no one's going to trade you anything significant for Zeke, in my opinion. I wouldn't give up much for him. Maybe like a back-end second. He's going to be the workhorse running back. So, again, if you're a contending team, you get him and you just ride that production or you ride that volume for at least next season. The 47 and a half yards is low. Dak at 270 and a half for a game that's projected to go over 51 points. I think that's kind of low for both of these quarterbacks, unless you're telling me they're going to run the ball 200 yards apiece, which I don't think that's going to happen. So just by game script, by what the bettors and the odds makers are telling us, maybe both of these numbers are a little too low for both of these quarterbacks.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And Mike was asking in the chat, what's Kittle's number? It's also 47 and a half, which is extremely low for as far as the wide receivers go. Brandon Ayuk, 47 and a half. Debo, 57 and a half. The problem with Debo is you don't know kind of how he's going to get the ball and whether it's going to be through the air or on the ground. But betting him to score a touchdown, like you mentioned, he scored a touchdown in 7 of his last 8 games. And the crazy thing is there was a stretch where he was scoring a rushing touchdown for, like, I think it was 6 straight weeks he scored a rushing touchdown.
Crazy.
But Kittle I like a lot. Another guy, though, Ayuk, I'm really curious to see how he's played. Because, you know, beginning of the season, he was really in the doghouse. You know, there's reports that him and Kyle Shanahan had a little bit of beef. But over the past few weeks, he's actually been playing pretty well. And so the issue for me, obviously, is Jimmy Garoppolo and how does he play? How do they execute this offense? Love Debo, love Kittle. Ayuk is kind of the third option, depending on the game and how they choose to play. Dallas, though, I'm curious to see how they play because the 49ers secondary is where they're weakest right now. They have a couple injuries. They're trying to get healthy. They're playing great on the back end when healthy, but they're still struggling with their health a little bit. You got Amari Cooper. You got CeeDee Lamb. But I still don't know, man. I don't know if I believe in Dak to get it done to that degree. I just think that Jimmy's going to make enough mistakes.
You put it on your damn parlay.
I think Dallas will win. And I honestly do think this game goes over. I just don't necessarily think Dak is going to win them the game. I think that Jimmy and that defense are going to do enough to force turnovers, to make life hell. And I think Dak is going to have to just manage the game and put points on the board, which we know he can do. But I don't think it necessarily be an overarching talent from Dak Prescott that wins this game ultimately. I think it's going to be the defense.
So you don't like the over 270 and a half? Is that what you're telling me? Dak at home?
No, not for Dak. No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Okay. Well, how are they going to score points? How are they going to get to 51 points? I mean, unless you're just saying he's going to be super efficient in red zone opportunities. I think both numbers for the quarterbacks are low. I think Jimmy Garoppolo will have a good game. I think Dak's going to have a good game. I think both of these teams are going to do what they're supposed to do, and it's going to come down to which quarterback do you believe in the most not to cause the crucial game-losing mistake. And I've got more faith in Dak Prescott not turning the ball over than I do Jimmy G. Jimmy Garoppolo, not very mobile, so if that Dallas defensive front can get after him, I think it's going to force him into some bad throws and bad decisions. And we've seen good Jimmy and real, real bad Jimmy. And I've got I actually have a prop that I really like for him that we'll talk about here in a second. But let's get to this last game real quick. This is the biggest dog on the slate, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I'm glad you did not take them on the money line. Over under 46 and a half for this game. Kansas City favored by 12 and a half points, man. Wow. You all probably saw it. Ben Roethlisberger pretty much said no one is expecting us to win. They're the better team. We're not supposed to be here. So what the hell? Let's just go out there and have fun. And it's the last hurrah for Ben Roethlisberger. If Pittsburgh wins this game, I'll do something. Y'all tell me. There's no way in hell Pittsburgh gets this. No way, right? There's no chance Pittsburgh beats Kansas City. The question is, can they cover the 12.5 point spread in this matchup? Mahomes, his prop number is 270.5. Tyreek Hill, a little banged up with that heel. I don't know what's going on with his heel.
Yeah.
66 and a half. I love Travis Kelce at 66 and a half. They're both the same. I'd rather take Travis Kelce over Tyreek Hill. Kansas City, like we said, they're putting up 28 points in each of their last 5 games. Pittsburgh cannot score. They put up 26 points against the Browns, but outside of that, they have not hit 20 points in any game of their last in any of their last 4 games. They haven't even made it to 20. And this includes a 36-10 beatdown by Kansas City at home. And you put in the notes, man, the most surprising stat of all is the lack of passing success that has come at home. All of Mahomes' big games have come on the road. He's averaging 333 passing yards on the road, but only 252 at home. And as concerned as you were for Dak's over, I'm like, I don't know if I want Mahomes over in this matchup, right? With a banged up Tyreek Hill, against a team that they probably won't have to score a lot to beat up on. You know, there's a good chance Kansas City's defense gives them a score or two in this matchup with Big Ben just YOLOing it his final game. But is there anything in this matchup you like? The only one that I feel really good about, Jay, is Travis Kelce. I love 66.5 receiving yards for Travis Kelce in this matchup. Pittsburgh, they don't have a linebacker to cover him. If they drop Minka Fitzpatrick down, that's probably what they'll have to kind of do to try to bracket Kelce to keep him at bay. But with a hurt Tyreek Hill, I think I like Travis Kelce over. And if I was going for a long shot, anytime touchdown score, I think DeMarcus Robinson and or Byron Pringle are also good options if you just want to throw a long shot anytime touchdown score bet out there for one of those two pass catchers.
Yeah, Byron Pringle was actually – this was his best game of the season, was against the Pittsburgh Steelers, where that was a game he had, I believe, 6 receptions for 60 yards and 2 touchdowns. So, again, if you want to kind of believe in that narrative, I agree with you. But I think my problem with betting this game so much is more so I don't know how it's going to play out. If it's a blowout, do we see – you know, how long do we see Big Ben in for? I'm assuming he plays the whole game because it's his last game.
Yes.
But the problem is like – I think that Kansas City is just going to win. And so if they're just going to win, I don't know if Kelce's going to get a lot of yards. I don't know if it's going to be Pringle. I don't know if Clyde's going to get heavily involved or they just run the ball a lot. Najee, we'll see. Najee had 90 yards against them the last time they played, and I believe his prop is at 60.5. I still just don't know. I don't think I have a good read on the game script. I don't think it'll necessarily be close either. And that lends itself to weird lines for everybody involved. And so I'm pretty much staying away from it. But of course, I'm taking Kansas City on the money line in the parlay.
Yeah,
I don't think either that Pittsburgh has any chance of winning. I don't know if they'll cover, but I know that Kansas City will definitely win.
All right, so listen, y'all. We are not professional bettors. We just like to have a good time. We watch the game. We talk about what we see. We go through it. We pull some stats. We look at some data. We have no model to help you win this. But it's just low stakes, right? $10, six-leg, money line parlay, payout $400. Jay's got Cincy, Buffalo, Philly, Dallas, KC, and we'll talk about the Arizona game because that's on Monday night. We'll talk about that Monday morning. Jay, I actually like this outside of the Philly bet, but I know you wanted to juice it up a little bit, so you needed to take a dog. And if you pull this off, man, I'll give you a lot of props. Let's take a look at what I'm rolling with this weekend. My flex play on Prize Picks, 5-leg. I've got Ben Roethlisberger under 220.5 passing yards. Jimmy Garoppolo under 2.5 rushing yards. Y'all know I love the QB rushing props. Joe Burrow, put my money where my mouth is, over 260 passing yards, 60.5 passing yards. I like Hunter Renfrow over 13.5 fantasy points. And I like Josh Allen over 20.5 fantasy points versus the New England Patriots. Again, doing it on the ground, probably good for a rushing touchdown and a couple of passing scores. I think, Jay, when you saw me throw this in last night, you thought it was pretty good, right?
Yeah, I liked it. I think my only fear was Big Ben because of the YOLO nature of what that game could be. But every other line I really liked a lot, especially Jimmy, because he's already banged up and he's not going to be able to get out and run against that Dallas front. But the rest of them, you know, we kind of talked about the rest of them. I love them all. It's really just the Ben one if he gets a lot of passing attempts and the volume just goes through the roof.
Yeah, even if he gets a lot of passing attempts, I don't know if it's going to yield a lot of yards, but we'll see. Let's see if Big Ben can come through for me on Wild Card Weekend. But yeah, I put one unit on this. So if you want to tail these picks, you can win some money. We're going to win this one. I feel real good about this one, Jay. So there it is, Wild Card Weekend. We did not talk Arizona, LA. We'll talk about them Monday. And then we got some other stuff. We're going to take, if we've got time, I think there was a new mock draft that came out that we may review and kind of talk about some of these landing spots, start to get an early look at the Senior Bowl roster, who we'll be paying attention to here in a couple of weeks. But we appreciate y'all for tapping in with us this week. Y'all enjoy your weekend. Enjoy football Saturday and Sunday and Monday. And make sure y'all wake y'all asses up with us Monday morning, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time, Eastern Time. Y'all have a great weekend. Be blessed. We out. Peace.